This is Over the Culture Podcast, where you get to hear my spin on things I like music, sports entertainment, movies, TV shows, and your mom. You also get to hear about things I don't like this damn Lizzo conversation. Oh, will we just put it to rest? I swear, I can't even. And I'm your bastard of ceremonies, the one gay kid, Pat Stay Black, Alex Trebek, Reefer Sutherland, Luke Fly Talker, the most interesting nerd in podcasting, the troller of trolls, the prince of petty, Steve G. It's September 25th, 2022. And I'm telling you, folks, this Lizzo convo has got to stop. It's just a rerun, the same shit over and over. Ooh, stop body shaming her. Oh, big girls need love too, and I'm just so fucking fed up with this shit. The calling of arms, please, let's have an alliance, let's join forces and support our sister Lizzo. She's being bullied, she can't live her life, she can't be free. Free Lizzo. Would y'all shut the fuck up? Ari Spears spoke his piece on this whole Lizzo thing. He caught flack for it. He's getting it from all different angles. And here's the thing with Lizzo. She cries wolf. She puts herself in this predicament to be chastised, to be ridiculed. She's asking for it. She begs for it in every fucking scenario. Anytime this conversation pops up, it's Lizzo crying wolf. I'm the big girl in this scenario, but don't say anything about me being big. Now I'm the big girl in this scenario, and I'm calling attention to how fucking big I am, but don't you say anything about it. Now here I am, my big ass in this fishnet dress that a girl my size should not be fucking wearing in public. But don't you speak on it. How dare you? It's like our hand is being forced every single time. And every time someone speaks out on this shit, or even just says what everyone is fucking thinking. Oh, cancel him. Oh, he's a bad person. How dare you? How dare... Look, man, I have a lot of problems with this whole Lizzo thing. One of them is this. She can get a man. I know quite a few guys who like the big girls, and they think that Lizzo can get clapped. She can get that action. But here's the thing. Lizzo thinks she's in the same category as the Kelly Rowlands, the Lisa Rays, the Beyoncés, and all of that. Right, I know, it's laughable. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. Because she rubs elbows with these people, She gets the paparazzi popping at her every time she steps out the door. She's a star. She's on SNL. She's doing the shows. She's doing the red carpets. Oh, I deserve me a Morris Chestnut. Bitch, you deserve Chestnut Ben and Jerry goddamn Bluebell. I'm so fucking fed up. God bless her heart. I couldn't even tell you one Lizzo song. Couldn't fucking tell you, because I'm the type of person, if I hear about your shit, about the fucking rumor mill and all that, if I hear about the bullshit related to you before the fucking song, before the movie, before the show, or whatever the fuck you're famous for, air quotes, if all the bullshit hits me before the actual work, I'm kind of like, eh, I'm good anyways. I know some people listen to the shit, but like I said, I couldn't tell you one fucking track, and hopefully this is the last time I talk about that goddamn Lizzo. It's probably not going to be, but it just fucking grinds my gears and I'm so irritated. Anyways, some good shit happened to Steve over the week. I went to the Wu-Tang, Nas, and Busta Rhymes New York State of Mind tour here in Atlanta, and oh my God, best show ever. Best fucking show. You just can't beat it. It can't be beat. Three of my favorite hip-hop acts. Busta Rhymes, Nas, and then my favorite hip-hop group of all time, Wu-Tang Clan. Oh my God. Only one not present, obviously, ODB, RIP, and Method Man. he couldn't make an appearance because I guess he's filming for the show, that power show, or some, he was filming. That's why he couldn't make it. But my buddy who went with me to the show, Mo P of the Great Lakes crew, he shared this with me that I guess Method Man made it to the Houston concert. So damn you, Houston, once again. Meth, he couldn't make it to the Atlanta show, but of course he could make it to Houston. Yeah. And yeah, I'm happy for you guys in Houston. I hope you enjoyed Meth there in the flesh. But it's okay. I saw Method Man twice. All right. And one of the great things about that show, those three acts are headliners. Each of them are headliners. Busta Rhymes, Nas, and Wu-Tang Clan. But throughout the show, they alternated sets. And I find that very unique. You're not going to see that in most shows like this. Because one of the ways they were able to pull it off is that, you know, they've collaborated with each other in the past. Busta Rhymes has done songs with Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang has done songs with Nas. And, you know, Wu-Tang, they're up there. They do a couple tracks. And Nas comes on. He does a couple tracks. Busta Bus comes and does his thing. And they have so many fucking hits, so many bangers that they couldn't even get to. They still have some shit left on the table. And they had a lot of tracks that they just kind of did a quick medley. They might have did a verse, then next track. Or they might have did the hook of a track, then next track. Because if they went through their fucking catalog of all of their fucking bangers, we would have been standing on that lawn for about 5 to 6 hours, especially when you bring in the Wu-Tang Clan and their solo tracks, their solo hits, the Ghostface shit, the Raekwon shit, the RZA shit, the GZA shit. Yeah. When Wu-Tang did Triumph towards the end of the night, I fucking lost it. I moved ahead. I moved up a row or two, and I just verbatim, word for word, every fucking thing. I don't give a fuck who was watching me. I was just in a zone as if I was on the stage. Yes, for this 45 seconds, for this 30 seconds, I am Inspector Deck, goddammit. For this 30 seconds, I will be Capadonna. I really wish, like, how can I get on that stage? How can I be a Wu-Tang Clan member? I ain't even got to get a rap in, a verse, a 16. I don't even need a mic. Can I just be on stage with y'all? I'll be Clapadonna. I'll just be there applauding you guys for every fucking fire verse that y'all deliver. Ghost. Oh, my God. Ghost was there. Ray. And then they did the fucking Verbal Intercourse, which is one of my favorite hip-hop songs ever. It's definitely my favorite Nas feature. It is Raekwon, Ghostface Killah, and Nas. And Verbal Intercourse is on the infamous Purple Tape, Raekwon's Only Built for Cuban Links. When the beat hit, I was like, oh man, I looked at Mo, and Mo, he already knew what time it was. Yeah, they about to do it. They about to fucking do it. And also, the mayor of Stonecrest, which is where the event was, at the end of the set, the mayor of Stonecrest, she declared September 22nd Wu-Tang Clan Day. And that was pretty dope. What was even doper, she delivered that statement while having these fucking yams for thighs. I was like, damn, this is the mayor coming on here looking like some fucking glazed ham. Jesus. Jesus. But man, yeah. Bucket list item checked. And I honestly don't know how any show after this could beat that. It would take Jimi Hendrix, Prince, Michael Jackson being revived, with Tupac and Biggie calling a truce and them being revived in a star-studded event. But man, like, I just can't express enough how fire that show was. This was actually my first concert since moving to Atlanta 2 years ago. My first post-COVID show, my first show while living down here in Atlanta, and I look forward to going to more. But yeah, man, bravo Wu-Tang, bravo Nas and Busta Rhymes. And another cool thing, they brought out LDB, ODB's son, who did all of the ODB parts for the ensemble tracks. They did Shimmy Shimmy Ya, and man, that's his father's son. He is his father's son, I tell you what. But I'm pressed for time because, you know, I'm trying to do all of these things on a Sunday, and I still got to go to work tonight, do that little overnight thing. So, all things September 25th. In 1975, Jackie Wilson suffers a heart attack and lapses into a 9-year terminal coma. Also in 75, Pink Floyd's concept album Wish You Were Here reaches number one in the US. It would go on to sell 13 million copies worldwide. In 1980, Chevy Chase calls Cary Grant a homo on The Tomorrow Show. A lawsuit would follow, and rightfully so, because by all accounts, Chevy Chase is a piece of shit. In 1991, Leonardo DiCaprio joins the cast of Growing Pains for what would be its final season. In 1992, The Last of the Mohicans premiered in theaters. In 1993, Walker, Texas Ranger premieres on CBS. And me and Matt have discussed this show on Happened in the 90s quite a few times. And, you know, I don't think people understand the whole Chuck Norris being a badass thing was initially supposed to be a joke, and I don't think people understood that. You know, I think society just took that and ran with it, and now it's become a thing. It's grown and it's got legs, and now people actually think that this guy is just this fucking super badass. I don't know, man. I like to think he was known for getting his ass beat by Bruce Lee, but I digress. In 1999, the cult classic Freaks and Geeks premiered on NBC. It only lasted one season, too. In 2001, XM Satellite Radio is launched. In 2009, Paranormal Activity premieres in theaters. And also in 2009, The Tonight Show host Conan O'Brien suffers a concussion after hitting his head on the studio floor while taping a stunt with guest Terry Hatcher. Production on that day's episode is halted, and a rerun airs on NBC in its place. O'Brien returned to work that following Monday because he's a fucking G. In 2012, Lupe Fiasco releases Food and Liquor 2, The Great American Rap Album, Part 1. Murs and Fashan releases the album This Generation, and Green Day releases Uno. In 2015, Fetty Wap releases his self-titled debut album, Fetty Wap, and man, that trap queen was all over the fucking radio waves and I couldn't get away from it. In 2018, Bill Cosby is sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison for his 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault. Earlier that day, the Television Critics Association rescinded their Career Achievement Award they had awarded him in 2002. But hey, Bill out now, so how about that? And in 2020, Deftones releases the album Ohms. But more important to me than all that shit. In 2001, the same day XM Satellite Radio is launched, Tenacious D releases their self-titled debut album, Tenacious D. Kyle Gass, Jack Black, kicking you in the face with hard fucking rock and harmonized vocals. Man, this is special and intimate in different ways to me, because there's a track on this album called Fuck Her Gently, and I remember listening to this song with my roommate and my buddies in the dorms in Bowling Green, and later that night was the night I lost my virginity. Now, the buildup is actually more interesting to the actual event itself. It didn't last long enough to even talk about. You know, and some people, they describe themselves as some kind of conqueror on their first go around in the sex department. Oh, I came, I saw, I conquered. Well, that wasn't the case for Steve G. It was more like I came, I cried, she left. The end. Today in sports history, In 1926, the NHL grants franchises to the Chicago Blackhawks and Detroit Red Wings. In 1934, Lou Gehrig plays in his 1,500th consecutive game. In 1941, the Brooklyn Dodgers win their first pennant in 21 years. In 1955, at the age of 20, Detroit outfielder Al Kaline is the youngest batting champ. In 1962, challenger Sonny Liston knocks out Floyd Patterson at 2 minutes and 6 seconds of round 1 at Comiskey Park in Chicago to win the World Heavyweight Boxing title. In 1965, at 60 years old, Satchel Paige of Kansas City Athletics pitches 3 scoreless innings. In 1979, the California Angels win their first National League West pennant. In 1980, Jerry Mumphrey joins Ozzie Smith and Gene Richards to steal 50 bases this year for the Padres. In 1981, Nolan Ryan has his 5th career no-hitter as the Astros beat the Dodgers 5-0. In 1985, Ricky Henderson steals a Yankee record 75th base of the season. In 1986, Houston Astro Mike Scott has a no-hitter against the San Francisco Giants 2-0. In 1988, American sprinter Florence Griffith Joyner wins the women's 100-meter and Olympic record 10.54. Also in 88, Americans sweep the medals in the long jump at the Seoul Olympics. Carl Lewis wins his 2nd gold of the game with a leap of 8.72 meters ahead of teammates Mike Pyle and Larry Myricks. In 1989, Boston Red Sox Wade Boggs is the first to get 200 hits and 100 walks in 4 consecutive seasons. In 1990, the Oakland A's clinched their 3rd straight AL West title. In 1992, Sparky Anderson ties Huey Jennings as Detroit Tigers' winningest manager. In 1994, Oliver McCall TKOs Lennox Lewis in 2 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title. In 1997, American sportscaster Marv Albert plea bargains in his sexual assault case. Also in 97, the WNBA announces it will add Detroit and Washington, D.C. franchises. In the year 2000, American basketball player Vince Carter jumps over 7-foot, 2-inch Frederick Weiss in the 2000 Summer Olympics, known in France as Le Donc de l'Amour. And that was my half-assed sports history. Coming up, I'm going to discuss Tenacious D's self-titled debut album, released on this day in 2001. We'll be back after these messages.
Live and direct, we are the priests of Hiroshima. Rhyme scheme. Born supremacists, bought me from the businesses. We need a boycott, I'm showing what the business is. Surrounded by xenophobes with a bleeding nose. They ain't satisfied till my dispositions decompose. Alphabet villains got me on speakerphone. Maybe I'm paranoid, I need to lead a reefer alone. Just a nervous wreck, could use a Percocet. Targeted by mass murderers who never earn respect. Different levels of pressure from the society. Anxiety has got me escaping my sobriety. They hate you, sedate you, belittle and berate you. The same minds that blatantly miseducate you. Aerosol cans burn the world with a mist of spray. Greenhouse gases leave you in a disarray. Gotta see the signs so the wrongs can be righted. We call attention to it so the flame can be ignited.
Reaching critical mass,
code red.
Watch another man die for a loaf of bread. Atrocities carried out at our behest.
Biological warfare to melt the flesh.
Cover up the tracks.
A genocide.
Effective mind control.
In the thin disguise.
Some refuse to see the truth.
They love the lie.
Ignorance is bliss.
And they wonder why.
You can feel the mercury.
Vice.
Mercury.
Vice.
Mercury.
Vice.
Atomic scorch. Burn thee.
Rice.
Burn thee.
Rice.
Burn thee.
Rice.
State of emergency.
Climb.
Emergency.
Climb.
Emergency.
Climb.
You can feel the mercury.
Vice.
Mercury.
Vice.
Mercury.
Vice.
We stumbling blind through these troubling times. Seldom the punishments custom fit for the crime.
fat cats feeding their mouths right in the faces of poverty. Lives tossed to the side, human race is a novelty. Economy spiraling right out of control. Heated tensions abroad, heated tensions at home. Only a matter of time till we achieve annihilation. Unless we hold accountable to criminals in violation. Political families affiliated with Nazis. Successes or failures, Bin Laden or Benghazi. Gotta be certain to keep sight of the nemesis. Congressional sessions full of the whitest supremacists. They label us the enemy of the state. We ain't got shit on the enemies they create. Sealing our fate, nuclear global combustion. Speeding on a crash course to total destruction. Reaching critical mass, code red. Watch another man die for a loaf of bread. Atrocities carried out at our behest.
Biological warfare to mother flesh.
Cover up the tracks,
a genocide.
Effective mind control
in the thin disguise.
Some refuse to see the truth,
they love the lie.
Ignorance is bliss,
and they wonder why.
You can feel the mercury
rise.
Mercury
rise.
Mercury
rise.
Atomic scorch, burn thee
rise.
Burn thee
rise.
Burn thee
rise.
The state of emergency.
Climb.
Emergency.
Climb.
Emergency.
Climb.
You can feel the mercury
rise.
Mercury
rise.
Mercury
rise. All our armies driving from your home, leaving your family starving to the bone. American dream, American doubt. A nation built on immigration, trying to keep them out. Pro-life terrorists shoot up a clinic. Pro-death disguised as God's vengeance. People dying in the name of religion. Innocent victims of a different opinion.
Special mention to those no longer with us. Last Monday, we lost American professional baseball player and manager Maury Wills. Born Maurice Morning Wills on October 2, 1932 in Washington, D.C., he played in the MLB, primarily for the Los Angeles Dodgers, from 1959 through 1966, and the latter part of 1969 through 1972, as a shortstop and switch hitter. He played for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1967 and 1968, and the Montreal Expos the first part of 1969. Willis was an essential component of the Dodgers championship teams in the mid-1960s, and is credited with reviving the stolen base as part of baseball strategy. Wills was the National League Most Valuable Player in 1962, stealing a record 104 bases to break the old modern era mark of 96, set by Ty Cobb in 1915. He was an All-Star seven times and was the first MLB All-Star Game Most Valuable Player in 1962. He also won Gold Gloves in 61 and 62, and in a 14-year career, Wills batted .281 with 20 home runs, 458 runs batted in, 2,134 hits, 1,067 runs, 177 doubles, 71 triples, 586 stolen bases, and 552 bases on balls in 1,942 games. From 2009 until his death in 2022, Wills was a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, serving as a representative of the Dodgers Legend Bureau. Wills died at his home in Sedona, Arizona on September 19, 2022, at age 89. On Friday, we lost American actress Louise Fletcher. Born Estelle Louise Fletcher on July 22, 1934 in Birmingham, Alabama, she portrayed Nurse Ratched on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975, which earned her an Academy Award for Best Actress, a BAFTA Award, and a Golden Globe Award. She also had a recurring role as a religious leader, Kai Wen Atami, in the television series Star Trek Deep Space Nine, as well as the role of Sebastian's aunt, Helen Rosamond, in the movie Cruel Intentions. She was nominated for two Emmy Awards for her roles in the television series Picket Fences and Joan of Arcadia. Her final role was as Rosie in the Netflix series Girl Boss. Fletcher died at her home in Mont-de-Rose, France on September 23, 2022, at the age of 88. Christopher Reeve was an American actor, director, and activist. Born Christopher Dollier Reeve on September 25, 1952 in New York City, he's best known for playing the titular character in the film Superman in its first three sequels. Born in New York City and raised in Princeton, New Jersey, Reeve discovered a passion for acting and the theater at the age of 9. He studied at Cornell University and the Juilliard School and made his Broadway debut in 1976. After his acclaimed performances in Superman and Superman II, Reeve declined many roles in action movies, choosing instead to work in small films and plays with more complex characters. He later appeared in critically successful films such as The Bostonians, Street Smart, and The Remains of the Day, and in the plays Fifth of July on Broadway and The Aspern Papers in London's West End. On May 27, 1995, Reeve broke his neck when he was thrown from a horse during an equestrian competition in Culpeper, Virginia. The injury paralyzed him from the shoulders down, and he used a wheelchair and ventilator for the rest of his life. Reeve returned to creative work, directing In the Gloaming in 1997 and acting in the television remake of Rear Window in 1998. He also made several appearances in the Superman-themed television series Smallville and wrote two autobiographical books, Still Me and Nothing is Impossible. Over the course of his career, Reeve received a BAFTA Award, a Screen Actors Guild Award, an Emmy Award, and a Grammy Award. Beginning in the 1980s, Reeve was an activist for environmental and human rights causes and for artistic freedom of expression. After his accident, he lobbied for spinal injury research, including human embryonic stem cell research, and for better insurance coverage for people with disabilities. His advocacy work included leading the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation and co-founding the Reeve Irvine Research Center. In early October 2004, he was being treated for an infected pressure ulcer that was causing sepsis, a complication he had experienced many times before. On October 4, 2004, he spoke at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago on behalf of the Institute's work. It was his last reported public appearance. And on October 9th of that year, Reeve attended his son Will's hockey game. That night, he went into cardiac arrest after receiving an antibiotic for the infection. He fell into a coma and was taken to Northern Westchester Hospital in Mount Kisco, New York. 18 hours later, on October 10, 2004, Reeve died at the age of 52. No official autopsy was performed on the actor. However, both Reeve's wife Dana and his doctor, John McDonald, believed that an adverse reaction to a drug caused Reeve's death. Shel Silverstein was an American writer, poet, cartoonist, songwriter, and playwright. Born Sheldon Allen Silverstein on September 25, 1930 in Chicago, Illinois, he briefly attended university before being drafted into the United States Army. Though perhaps best known for his children books, Silverstein did not limit his audience to children. During his rise to prominence in the 1950s, his illustrations were published in various newspapers and magazines, notably the adult-oriented Playboy. He also wrote a satirical adult-oriented alphabet book, Uncle Shelby's ABZ Book, under the stylized name Uncle Shelby, which he used as an occasional pen name. As a children's author, some of his most acclaimed works include The Giving Tree, Where the Sidewalk Ends, and A Light in the Attic. His works have been translated into more than 47 languages and have sold more than 20 million copies. As a songwriter, Silverstein wrote the 1969 Johnny Cash track, A Boy Named Sue, which peaked at number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. His songs have been recorded and popularized by a wide range of other acts, including Tom Ball Glasser, the Irish Rovers, and Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. He was the recipient of 2 Grammy Awards, as well as nominations at the Golden Globe Awards and Academy Awards. Though never married, Silverstein fathered 2 children, Shoshana Jordan Hastings and Matthew DeVere. Shoshana died of an aneurysm at age 11, and the book A Light in the Attic is dedicated in her memory. Silverstein died at his home in Key West, Florida, of a heart attack on May 10, 1999, at the age of 68. Rest easy, y'all. On this day in 2001, Tenacious D was released. Tenacious D is the self-titled debut studio album by American comedy rock band Tenacious D, released by Epic Records. The album's polished production was a departure from the band's acoustic origins, due in part to the production of the Dust Brothers. Wonder Boy was the first single released from the album, followed by Tribute. Both singles had music videos filmed for them, with the Liam Lynch-directed Tribute video achieving cult status. While Tenacious D did not achieve chart success after its release, it was certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America by the end of 2005. Despite only peaking at number 38 in the UK, it had sold 426,000 copies countrywide by 2006. For their first album, they enlisted the help of drummer Dave Grohl, keyboardist Paige McConnell of Phish, guitarist Warren Fitzgerald, and bass player Stephen Shane McDonald. The Dust Brothers produced the album. The majority of the songs on their debut album stem from early versions, as seen on their HBO TV series, Tenacious D. The record itself does not list the song titles on the back cover, as is the convention, but instead on the back cover of the jacket. Therefore, one must open the CD, after presumably buying it, to read them. This is perhaps to allow songs with expletives or words otherwise deemed offensive to escape censorship or omission. The recording session for the album began with a two-day session at Neil Diamond's Archangel Studio in Los Angeles, where initial drum tracks were recorded. They were able to use the studio because Diamond had just appeared with Black in the film Saving Silverman, in which Black plays a Neil Diamond cover singer. At least one song was cut from the final release of the album. A studio recording of Jesus Ranch, the final song from the HBO shorts, was omitted from the album because it just didn't cut the mustard. The HBO version can be found on their DVD, The Complete Masterworks, and a recorded studio demo can be found on their 2002 EP, Defun Pack. The front cover features Black and Gas standing naked below the devil. The pose is similar to that shown on some devil tarot cards. Due to the satanic nature of the cover, the album was briefly recalled from stores. The band performed in front of this at concerts. Tribute, the first single from the album, discusses the greatest song in the world, written to save the souls of Gas and Black from a demon, but later forgotten. The song dropped guitar riffs from Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, which had appeared in early versions. The single, the band's most successful, achieved Tenacious D's only chart top 10 peaking at number 4 in Australia. The video, directed by Liam Lynch, was voted by Kerrang readers as the 5th best music video. The second single, Wonder Boy, a biographical ballad, was critically well received, with the BBC describing it as endearing. In 2002, the video, directed by Spike Jones, won a Music Video Production Association for Best Direction of a Music Video. The third music video, for Fuck Her Gently, a song described as an underground hit and, according to Black, lauded by women's groups, depicted an animated Black and Gas as cherubs by John Kay, the creator of Ren and Stimpy. The album opens with Kielbasa, a song discussing anal sex. The previously popular pseudoscience book, Dianetics, is also mentioned, as well as Krishna. Dio is a tribute to Ronnie James Dio that calls for the singer to pass the torch onto Tenacious D. Black has said that this was a compliment, as they could have asked others for the torch, but ultimately, we were bestowing an honor upon him. Reportedly, Dio approved of the song and let Tenacious D appear in the video for his single Push. In addition, Dio also appeared in the 2006 film Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny, playing himself. Explosivo was originally intended as a tribute to Kurt Cobain. 7 of the tracks on the album are comedy skits. One Note Song, Hard Fucking, Inward Singing, Cock Push-Ups, Friendship Test, Karate Schnitzel, and Drive Through. Double Team is another song on the topic of sex, in particular, threesomes. The Road deals with groupies while touring. Lee, named after their number one fan, Lee, is a song from the short The Fan, in which the band stalk their biggest fan and sing an obsessive song about him. Karate is described as an aggressive song. taken from the short Angel in Disguise, in which Black and Gas fight. The song ends with Black saying the words "donkey crap" in reverse audio. Kyle quit the band from The Search for Inspirato is a song which documents the band reuniting after breaking up. Friendship talks of Black and Gas's relationship. They sing of friendship being rare. In City Hall, the longest song on the album, described as epic, lead singer Black calls for the legalization of cannabis. The song is described by the band and others as a rock opera. In support of the album, the band embarked on a national tour. All the songs were performed acoustically. The band covered Queen's Flash and the Beatles' You Never Give Me Your Money. Tenacious D's first album garnered critical acclaim. Review aggregate website Metacritic gave the album a score of 85 out of 100, signifying universal acclaim. Entertainment Weekly described the release as being hilarious and no mere comedy record. AllMusic said it rocks so damn hard, but it reflects on the lack of some of the songs from the HBO episodes. The AV Club wrote that Black and Gas manage an odd, simultaneous fusion of stupid and clever, while Time wrote, "The pleasures of Tenacious D flow from a similar revelation. Black and Gas set themselves up as buffoons with titles like Karate Schnitzel, then proceed to defy expectations with precise guitars, polished vocal harmonies, and slamming backup musicians." Happy anniversary, Tenacious D. Thank you, Kyle Gass. Thank you, Jack Black. Rigagoo goo goo rigagoo. In today's birthdays for September 25th, turning 33 today is American football player Alden Smith. Happy 39th birthday to American actor, rapper, producer, and screenwriter Donald Glover. Turning 42 is American rapper, songwriter, producer, and actor T.I. Happy 43rd birthday to American mixed martial artist and wrestler Rashad Evans. American singer, songwriter, and producer Ryan Leslie turns 44 today. American basketball player, NBA champ, and future Hall of Famer Chauncey Billups turns 46. Detroit basketball! American football player and coach, former Cowboy, Dat Nguyen, turns 47 today. Also turning 47 is American football player, Matt Hasselbeck. American football player, sportscaster, Super Bowl champion, and Hall of Famer, John Lynch, turns 51 today. The Welsh actress, Catherine Zeta-Jones, turns 53. Also turning 53 is American actor, comedian, musician, and political commentator, Hal Sparks. Turning 54 today is American actor, producer, rapper, and living fucking legend, Will Smith. And in case you forgot, this is a no-slander Willard Smith zone. Happy birthday, Will. American basketball player, sportscaster, Olympic gold medalist, NBA champ, and Hall of Famer, one of the GOATs. You could call him the GOAT of sidekick, the best fucking Robin ever, and there's nothing wrong with that, Scottie Pippen. Hey. Stop slandering, Mike. American actress Heather Locklear turned 61 today. American wrestler and manager Jimmy Garvin turned 70 years old. Both turning 71 today are American basketball player and coach Bob McAdoo, as well as American actor, singer, and producer Mark Hamill. Luke, the Force is yours. Turning 75 is American model and actress Cheryl Teagues. American actor and producer Michael Douglas turns 78 today. And a very special happy 93rd birthday to American journalist, producer, and author Barbara Walters. So that wraps up another edition of Over the Culture Podcast. As always, check out my other show, Happened in the 90s, with my buddy Matt G, Crushgasm with Kendra every Wednesday, B3F Podcast with Joey and Steve, and Don't Worry, B-Movie with Amanda and Wade. Go Cowboys, go Buckeyes, go Browns. Y'all be cool. Peace.